Okay, fun show. 1, 2, 3, fun show.
Yep.
We're not going to pretend that the world, like, it doesn't exist.
Right.
We're going to acknowledge that, well, right now we're acknowledging that it is a surreal time.
Yes.
But we're going to push that through that.
We need
fun show it.
Yeah, we need
the world needs us.
Yeah, that's, you know, like the bat signal. You know?
That's right. Like,
they're putting up the 2H in the sky saying, we need you guys. We need your fun reprieve.
That was Save a photo. Us. I'm putting that up. That was a photo challenge years ago. Remember that?
The bat signal?
The bat signal with the maple leaf.
Really?
I'm going to dig that up now that you said that.
Oh, gosh. That's the cover.
Hello and welcome to episode 481 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
So,
yeah,
what's going on?
I'm at home in front of my computer.
Yeah,
ready for a sensational podcast. What number did you say? What number did you say it was?
481.
Oh, this is going to be a doozy.
Yeah, no, clearly, no. Amazon, if you need pretty much anything, I think Amazon is probably your best bet right now.
Yeah.
Click through our site, help us out.
Sure.
And trust me, we're going to spend all that money on Amazon.
Yeah.
I got something delivered, I think I talked about it last week. I got something from Amazon and the guy just kind of dropped it on my porch and backed away.
Okay.
Do I have to sign? He's like, nah, just stand over there. You got her. Okay. You got her.
Throw it through your window. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm good with that in everyday life. That would be under normal circumstances. That's my preferred method. So,
right.
The social distancing thing is not affecting me in the least. I'll tell you that. This is my life. Anyways.
You're already very socially distant.
Bit of an outcast. So, yeah. It works out. But yeah, so a lot has happened in the last week. A lot happened from the time that we recorded last week till the time it aired on Monday. Yeah,
like some my abs things. Got ripped in the last week.
Oh, I went the other way. I put on 30 pounds this week.
Eating cupcakes.
No, I didn't do that. No, I mean, like a lot of the big things, like from the time we recorded till it aired, I mean, like, you know, like the borders closed. That was the weird one to me.
Sure. Yeah.
Now we're not going to go into great detail here, but
No. I was supposed to go on a trip. I think I'd already canceled when we spoke last time. Correct. Yeah. So I've been at home. I've had a week vacation where I've been at home with my wife and kids. We've spent a lot of family time together.
Right. With your family.
Yeah. Just my family. Like four of us, we kind of have our routine. Get up, do puzzles, play some video games, watch a movie, read a book. Like that's sort of been the routine around here.
That's what I'm curious to know is what people are doing. Our listeners too. I want to know what people are doing. I meant to actually spend a little more time talking online with people back home and just seeing how things are going, and you included. But I saw you had your anniversary this week.
Yeah. Yeah,
as did I. Yeah. I don't know if you knew. Ours is one of mine. It's the same week, so it's a little different.
What number was yours?
11. Mine goes to 11.
You're what?
Huh?
What do you mean it goes to 11?
Spinal Tap. Ours go to 11. It's my 11.
Yeah, yeah. I
know. Married 11 years.
Okay. All right. There you go.
And you?
15 for us.
See, that's the funny, because I saw that. I saw something on the interwebs about that your wife had posted, and I was like, you've been married 4 years longer than me.
Okay.
Which...
You're good at math.
I am good at math, and I'm very fast with the math. I would have guessed, like, I mean, not that, you know, nothing to rip on an age or anything like that, just the way time works. Is that I would have guessed the time between when I was at your wedding and the time I got married, I would have guessed would have been about 11 years. not 4 years. No, just the time, what all the things that had to happen in that short amount of time. Because I was not with my wife. She wasn't my girlfriend when I was at your wedding. You know?
Okay.
So all that had to happen in that short time for me. Anyways, it was kind of a different anniversary too. We didn't go out for dinner. Normally we go for Chinese food or something like that. We roasted bratwurst on the fire in the backyard with the kids. That was our anniversary.
Nice. We celebrated by having the lady who delivers newspapers back into my parked car really, really hard.
Okay, no better time for that.
Yeah, so that was a celebration of sorts. Same car that had already been fixed like 3 months ago. So that car is I don't know, in the zeitgeist is asking for it, I think.
Oh man. Yeah, no kidding. That's terrible.
The nice thing was she did come and knock on our door and tell us that she'd smoked our car. So
yeah.
That was nice.
Did she do it from afar or did she get right in your face?
No, she did it from an appropriate 3 meters distance, but she did have to knock on the door and her English was definitely a second language. So she mostly was pointing and she was apologetic. I could tell in her expression, she was very apologetic. So, yeah, there you go. There's happy anniversary.
Yeah. So just another quick note, what I was going to mention, we weren't actually sure if we were going to do a show this week. We never missed a week in for anything, and I kind of thought about it. I was like, do we need to? You know, is this the right time? And then I thought about it. I was like, well, people are probably home, with nothing to do, very bored, And so I thought,
they need us. Yeah,
maybe we can be so boring they feel better about their lives.
Oh, okay, yeah, I can do that.
Mission accomplished so far. So, so are you spending most of the time at home? Are you going outside? What happens?
Most of the time at home, but I do go outside. I've been going for a little walk. It's very quiet around where we are. So, we have a big park that's, sort of in behind our house that is, empty 95% of the time. So it's a big field. So went there and played catch with a frisbee the other day with my kid, and we've gone walking along the dike. So we've done that. We try to make an exercise time outside of our front. We played basketball. We have a basketball hoop, so we did that. So we're choosing something. There's tennis courts, I think, at some point this week. That's another spot we might go. Hit the tennis ball around. So every place that we go though is very isolated. So I feel good about being outside as long as there's lots of space around us.
That's the idea, yeah. And I know it's a little tougher for you because I mean you live in a little denser area than I do. Fortunately for us, but I can imagine it being a little tougher. You know, like you have a lot more neighbors in close proximity.
Yeah, but everyone seems to be inside all the time. So when you go outside, it is a little bit surreal in that most of the time you don't see another person.
Which is not normal for where you are.
No, not normal at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much business as usual for us. I mean, there's a lockdown coming, a full-on lockdown where people will be told to stay home because so far it's been the social contract of, hey, just stay home, okay? Like, there was social distancing, and then there was the stay home. Just basically don't go out if you don't have to.
Right.
And people were not abiding by that. I have not been abiding by that. I've been told. I don't know. I haven't gone into downtown Tübingen, but apparently there's, still people hanging out in the street and together and congregating, and that's not going to fly. And so I think the government has going to step in and basically crack down, enforce this, and say, no, no more hanging around. So for us, I mean, for us, we're okay where we live. It's pretty good. We're kind of out of the way a little bit. And so we have enough room. The neighbors, everyone kind of gives each other some space. We live by the woods. So it's not too far. We can just go for a little walk in the woods, which we've done every day the last 5 days, as you'll see in my, photo challenge is, off in the woods. And, yeah, that's the kids done that 5 days in a row. Great weather, so we're making the best of a situation.
Sure.
But here's the thing, and here's my appeal to everybody listening. I would like for someone to start up RNN, the Reasonable News Network, where people just go and report what's going on without going crazy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The over-sensationalizing of everything is really not helping. It's making things worse, everybody. I want to find out the facts. I believe this to be a serious situation, not necessarily worthy of panic, because that's not going to help. But I'm not someone who's downplaying this and saying, don't worry about it. It's all gonna come out in the wash. This is something that definitely requires our attention. And guess what? It has it, for the most part. It has our attention. We're going to do this. I've had to stop reading the news because it's just sensational, 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 and I can't take it anymore. So, Reasonable News Network, coming 2021.
Okay.
All right. Did some woodworking during my time here, and until basically I ran out of wood. That was the issue. So I was making a my plan was first step. Remember, I told you my first idea was gonna make a what did I say? It was a spice rack, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I figured, well, maybe I'll actually make a stand for my table saw first, because it's right now it's on the floor, as you can see in the picture I attached.
Sure. Yeah.
There's my table saw, and so I have to work with it on the floor, which is kind of a pain in the ass, and probably not safe, I'm guessing. So I thought, you know what? I'm gonna make a workbench / table saw combo, so that I can wheel it around, put it on two wheels, and then wheel it around the shop. It also will double as a workbench.
Okay.
So I'm going to put a couple of pieces of 2x4 of plywood on each of those levels. The table saw will sit on the bottom lower level, obviously, and if I've done my math correctly, will line up almost exactly with the workbench, so it'll act as a workbench too. Hopefully the table saw is about 2 mils above, so it acts as an outfeed table as well. So when I'm pushing, like ripping long sheets, it'll go onto that that workbench will hold it. And so you want it to be about 2 mils below. You don't want it to be exactly the same, because you might bump into it.
Gotcha.
However, so I got all that done. I was pretty chuffed with myself, because this is all out of my head. There was no plans. There's no nothing. I had to figure out how to do this. Got my pocket hole jig. You can see all the pocket holes there. I went nuts with it, and really happy with how this turned out. But was unable to get over to the hardware store and get those sheets of plywood, and probably won't for the foreseeable future due to what's going on here.
Okay.
So I'm kind of bummed that I couldn't complete that project.
Yeah, but you got 75% of the way.
95% to 98%. All it just two pieces screwed on. That's basically it, and the rest is done. So for the most part, maybe a couple of supports in the middle. I ran out of wood, like I said. So anyway, there you go. That's the saw update.
Great.
Oh, you can't wait for more, right? You can't wait for this thing to be over so you can get more saw updates.
Yeah.
Right. Reminder, monthly challenge for March is black and white. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge, hashtag hey hosers, or make sure you tag us at two hosers on Instagram, and we'll check that out at the end of the month. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, just my photo challenge. That was my one venture out with the camera. But speaking of, you know, shooting anything interesting, I have had swimming around in my head a bunch of photography related ideas, thinking about, okay, you know, this is a good opportunity. People are home now, or more people are home now and looking for things to do to keep themselves occupied. I've been doing puzzles and reading and watching movies and whatnot. But yeah, photography is a good thing to do around the house. So I think even or in your backyard or wherever you've got your isolation. But I'm thinking I need like a little photography project. Now, motivating myself to do any of this right now is kind of the double-edged sword. Is like, hey, I've got the time to do it. I don't really feel like doing it, though. That's where I'm sort of caught in the middle of there. I'm like, this is a great opportunity, but I have so far not taken advantage of it. But maybe I will, a photo a day kind of project.
That, you know what? Do that. I will pledge to not do that. But no, I'll pledge to do that as well, because I feel the same way. I looked at this like, I was trying to look at this like, okay, you know what? Like, this is obviously a terrible situation, but you know what? You don't have a choice in the matter, and so what can you do to make this productive? And then I thought, you know, also, hey man, like, we're gonna have a lot of time. Like, there's a lot of time just freed up. So I'm going to be able to do this, this, and this. Well, in the first 5 days, I have not done that.
Right.
I did take a lot more photos. I was talking about other stuff like organizing, you know, going through my library, which I just haven't done. I haven't been motivated to do and get rid of that. And like I said, my mornings are usually spent in the shop, and then afternoon we go out in the woods where I have taken some photos, and we'll talk about those in a minute. But the bummer was, like, we went every day for 5 days. And I don't take my phone, and it's nice. It's just me, my wife, and my kids, and we have a great time, you know, just kind of connecting out in the woods, and which we aren't tremendously removed from that anyways. We tend to be, you know, like yourselves, like, we're a pretty close-knit family as it is, and we don't go nuts with the devices and all that. We're not distant anyways, but this is a little extra. And so, but there was a couple days I didn't take my camera. And which is unfortunate, because the light was just amazing. And I thought, oh man, like, this is, why not just bring it? Bring it with you, you know, because chronicle what you're doing. One day, you know, you're going to look back. Like, I talked to my wife about this, and you know, we're talking about the situation that we're in. And there's obviously, on the one hand, there is the health concern that everyone has, obviously, is what's driving this. And on the other hand, what's really kind of getting me is the psychological aspect of this situation. In that, and very specifically, I'm worried about my kids and what is this going to do? Like, if this goes on for a prolonged period, you know, like I just keep thinking my kids are supposed to be out running around the playgrounds with their friends, having fun, and they're not. They're doing this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But one day, you know, like, in 10 years, like, your kids will look back and basically remember with their friends this time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was, that was the time that this happened. So it would be interesting to have sort of a photographic chronicle of that daily life. Not necessarily each moment of that life, or photographing the misery or the boredom or whatever it is. Photograph what is happening, and you can relate to what was going on during that time.
Okay.
Do it. I'll do it. I will pledge to take a lot more photos. I took one this morning of my kids at their homeschool on the kitchen table. So I will do a lot more of that.
Okay. I will do it as well.
Photo challenge. Was outside, which, good thing we did it in time. Let's have a look at yours. Now, this is the dike down by your house.
Yeah, this was an evening walk that we took a few days ago, early in the week. And so you can see it was a beautiful night, just golden hour. So sun just going down, and I could hear a cyclist kind of coming up behind us. So I just got my camera ready, and we stepped over to the side. And as the cyclist went by, I just snapped a photo. No permission given here. Of course, you can't identify the cyclist because it's shot from the back, and just kind of captures sort of a beautiful evening light and sort of a very kind of neat sunset with the mountains. And I really like the light and how it hit the cyclist, and just a pretty straightforward shot. But the kind of photo that, just at the right angle, at the right time of day, even something as simple as just a cyclist going by, is sort of interesting.
Sure. I mean, and so looking at this, you've shot here before, obviously. Avid listeners will recognize this location. There's a reason that your area is, remember I said, it's high density living, a lot of people around living where you are. This is why. Like, this is one of the spots I miss about living in the Vancouver area, is this area. It is fantastic. We got, you know, you have the marsh going out, marshlands out to the left, out to the Pacific Ocean, and then And behind you, like behind the camera, is the a little ways away, is the Fraser River, and then you have the mountains, like the North Shore Mountains, right there. And before that, though, is the airport, right?
Yep.
Well, kind of the right. Actually, I guess the airport's a little more obscured. Like if you kind of follow that curve around to the right, and also 6 miles.
Sure.
It's a bit of a hike. I think it's about that far, probably. But if you ride right around there, you can ride your bike all the way down to the North Dyke, can't you, from there?
Yeah.
So if you go all the way down there, you see, you know, the Vancouver Airport, and then I believe that's probably Stanley Park in the background. So it's an amazing spot. It's beautiful any time of the day, but extra here. Like this, really, the greens of the grass pop with the sun where it is, making that nice kind of. You don't overdo it. If you waited another 20 minutes, it would look cool as well, but you'd be very, very probably overdone. Whereas this is just the hint of how nice it is. There, leading lines going off in the distance.
Yeah, that makes a difference. I took a few photos a little bit further on the walk, and it didn't have the curve, which made it less interesting as far as a photo goes. So the curve of that path kind of going towards the mountains, and that definitely there's something to be said about how a curved path is more interesting than something where it's you're just on a straightaway.
Yeah, for sure. There's that. And then in terms of technical, what they tell you in the book, you're probably not supposed to put the horizon line there, maybe. I don't know. I can care less. I don't care.
I like
that's,
it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's one of the ones that I've had people critique my photos before, and they mentioned some horizon line. But like, it doesn't bug me though. It's one of those things. Like I appreciate the rule of thirds. Like I there's certain things about photography that certain rules and conventions that I follow to the T, and unless I don't. But that's not one of them. I don't know why. I have no good reason why not.
Okay,
so I got what did I post, three photos? Yeah, I was having trouble deciding, and I also wanted to show you, you know, the forest stuff that we shot. So ultimately, I went with the one with my son in the forest holding the tree branch above his head.
Okay,
so this is him. We're building a shelter, like a fort. That's what we've been doing for 5 days. We're building a really cool fort out in the woods, and this is him collecting stuff and doing that,
like Survivor.
I hope not.
No, like the show where you win $1 million. Yeah, where they build.
Speaking
shelters.
Of which, they because of this whole Corona stuff, they canceled the production. Like they're in the middle of shooting Survivor, and they canceled it.
Really?
Seems to me to be the ultimate.
Yeah.
Seems maybe stick with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, no, too soon. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I guess it is like Survivor, but the kids love doing that. They've done that with their schools and stuff like that. It's kind of a thing here where we are to go out, you know, go for a hike in the woods with their school and build something. We ended up building something really cool, which maybe you'll see. Yeah, you won't really see in the next photos, but he could not be happier. He loves it out there, and so does my daughter. They love being out there and playing together and doing this. And this was shot today. And I wanted to take I wasn't sure what lens to take today. I thought, you know, what have I not been shooting with?
And the answer
is? I'm asking you, what have you, it's the same lens you've not been shooting with.
The same lens I've not been shooting with.
Oh, you have a little bit recently, you brought it out.
Is it the 50 millimeter?
17 to 40.
Oh, the 17 to 40. Oh, I guess based on the one of your son, that looks right. But the one at the next photo of you, your kids together, kind of, I guess, in the fort, that's not the 17 to 40.
That's at 40 mil. Yeah, one lens.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So I wanted to shoot the 17 to 40. I thought, you know what? I haven't shot with that in a while. So I took the 5D Classic out. It was still working. It was working again. And so I decided to take that out. And this is what I got, a little action shot, kind of a... I'm actually much lower to the ground than it looks. It's just the wide angle lens sort of distorts that. I didn't get right down to the ground, which maybe I should have, but I didn't really feel like it. So what are your thoughts on this photo? Because I have a very specific question I want to get to.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's great. It's actually a great shot. I love this, but I'll get to my specific question then.
Okay.
Does he stand out or is he camouflaged?
No, he stands out.
Okay. He's not to me. He's completely camouflaged. And so that's one of the reasons I specifically chose this photo, because like obviously his pants sort of blend in with the general motif.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brown and that. But you know, my whole deal with the colorblindness, the red green, I'm red green colorblind. I know this is maroon. Maroon's not red, but it's in the ballpark. And it blends. Like he does not pop out to me. So I was concerned he wasn't going to pop out at all. And so that's why I wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. He pops out.
Okay. And then I shot a couple other ones. Do you like one of the other ones better?
I like the one of your son and daughter kind of through the trees with the kind of dappled light from the trees kind of hitting mm-hmm. them. And interesting. Like that one's interesting.
That's side, in the fort. They're in
the fort. There. Yeah. The one on the side, profile, them sort of snuggled in together, looking off, is fine as well. Like it's okay, but it's again, more of a snapshot. Mm-hmm. And, as far as a good photo goes, definitely the one of, your wood shop table is the best.
Yeah, take the wood shop table. Well, those pocket holes are pretty good. I really did a great job on that. I overdid it on the pocket holes. I won't lie to you.
Yeah.
You know what it was that I ordered on Amazon? It was actually pocket hole screws. They're very specific screws that you can't buy at a hardware store. And I tried and couldn't get them. And so I had to order them on Amazon. And the guy just dropped them off. There you go. There's your screws.
All right. There you go. Yeah.
And there they are in the photo.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yeah. Let's go back to that. But you can't see it in this photo. But the two back legs, those go right to the ground. There's no wheels on those.
Okay.
So I just did on the two. Yet I still managed to measure out exactly how long they needed to be. I don't want to say genius. So I'd appreciate it if you did.
Okay, that's genius.
Awesome. All right, can't wait till it's done. I can show you that. All right, topic this week, there is one. There's a topic, and it is how... It came from an email from listener George. George sent in, "Hi, Alan, I'm confused." Well, George, that's on you.
Okay.
Oh, no, there's more. Hang on, there's more.
Okay.
You said you use the SB26 in optical slave mode, but your other flash uses ETTL. That combination would seem to be in conflict because of the ETTL pre-flash. So there you go. And there's more to it than that, but he basically says, hey, can you, I guess if the SB26 is set to very low power, it might be able to do both flashes, but otherwise I don't see how it would work. Can you please explain? Yeah, that's a great question. And the honest answer is I completely fumbled that ball. So you understand how ETTL works, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do. I know you do, but just in case the listener doesn't, what happens is there's actually two flashes. Your flash shoots out a test flash. It comes back through the lens, electronic through the lens metering. It measures how much the actual flash should be in a split second and then fires out the actual flash, making the exposure. That's how that works. Normally, I would... So I had that on my camera. Normally, I would shoot with the radio trigger firing off the second flash. That would be on full manual. It would just show up. I don't care how strong it is. I'll just kind of roll with it. And life is good. Well, my battery had died. The very special battery, the little whatever it's called, the 10... whatever, doesn't matter, 2000 something battery, and I couldn't get one in time. And so I decided, oh well, I'll just use the SB26 has a optical trigger, as we talked about last week, I'll just use that in a pinch. And I had completely forgotten about the two flashes on the ETTL. Now the good news is one good news thing that I completely forgot as well is that there's actually a setting on the SB26, on the optical trigger, you can set it for a delay. So it basically, it sees the optical trigger, it waits an appropriate amount of time, very, very short amount of time, and then it fires the actual flash in line with your actual photo that your camera's taking. So it has that built in. If you're smart enough to switch that hard switch over. Guess who wasn't smart enough? Guess who wasn't paying attention to that?
You.
Well, George. George could have told me ahead of time, really.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't. Maybe he didn't know I was going to the party, but still. Where were you on that one? No, I blew it. I completely fumbled it. And as a result, I think I told you last week, my hit rate last week was terrible.
That's why.
That's not the only reason why. There's other reasons. It was the shitty, but... It was, yeah, my hit rate was not great, and the flash wasn't going. Now, so what George is asking is, well, maybe if you're set at 1/64th power, then the recycle time on that flash might be fast enough that it would actually fire twice along with both flashes of the ETTL.
Right.
I don't know if that's true. In theory, it could be, but that's not what happened. What I ended up doing when I wasn't getting the results I wanted, I was basically upping the power on the SB26. So what normally I would get 1/64th power would be a lot, and I couldn't figure out why I was not getting good enough results. Like the flash was barely registering. I could see it flashing. I could physically see it going, obviously, but what unbeknownst to me, it was firing early.
Right.
And so when I up the power, what I am doing is it's just,
essentially making it longer. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm catching the tail end bleed of that flash in my actual exposure. So in effect, I'm getting 1/64th power, but it's requiring me to do 1/16th output just to get that.
Right.
Had I flipped the switch over, my life would have been way better. So the good news is I will not make that mistake again.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, George. Yeah, I'm really glad you brought it up to my attention, because I actually had not even occurred to me how bad I messed that up until then, and won't happen again. Questions?
No.
Okay. Well, we're doing a much shorter show this week, so okay. If you want to vamp for about 30 minutes, now is the time.
No. We're good. We've covered it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to end up happening. Monthly challenge for March is black and white. Hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers on the Instagram. Tag us at Two Hosers and we'll check that out. Weekly challenge for this week. Last week was outside. Let's do inside. Make it easy on yourself.
Sure. And maybe, I'm just going to add a small caveat to the challenge. Maybe smile. Something like, it doesn't have to have a smile in the photo, but maybe something that might make you smile or might make me smile. Let's think of something happy, happier times.
We could do that.
Or straight up depression.
It's funny you mentioned that though, because I have a note. I actually have a note here to end the show. So what do we agree on the challenge? Inside or smile? Smiley.
I think it's inside, but let's try to aim for something that's going to make us smile.
Okay. I might just shoot a smile. I might get a smile. We'll see.
Sure.
Not my own, because I don't do that, but, you know, one of my kids, probably. Okay. The challenge is, it's going to be the smile, because I want to cheer people up. That's what I want.
Okay. Smile. There we go.
Now, so you said about the total depression, like that's the thing is I think it's extremely important in most times, but in these times especially, is to maintain social contacts, because I can imagine the depression rate and skyrocketing when people are isolated like this.
Yeah.
Like, I know we talk, oh, well, it's great, we have social media. Yeah, social media is fine. It's not the best. I mean, you know, in this situation, it's a great help. I was kind of thinking about, you know, our situation, like not just my situation or yours, but like our group of friends and whatnot. And, you know, and again, how odd and terrible the situation is, but how it would be different if this had happened, say 15 years ago or 10 years, you know, when you were living in a small apartment or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, or like you and your college buddies are living in an apartment. Like, oh, that, how long would that quarantine last?
Yeah.
You know, you'd kill her. Someone would end up killing, be Lord of the Flies in there. So I thought about those things and you know, how fortunate, you know, I am that in a bad situation to be stuck with the people I love in a nice place. It's all the, all those things. So that's nice. But I also, I know that people are going to be lonely. And what I'm asking from our listeners is, please share photos of how you're coping with your situation.
Sure. Yeah.
On the Instagram. Instagram's the best. That's where I'm gonna check it. I don't email them to me. I don't want you to share them with us. I would like you to share them with other people, because I guarantee you sharing with other people will make them feel connected, and everybody needs to feel connected in this situation. One of my favorite quotes, I'll leave you on this before we get to websites. No, forget it. No, I'm going to end on, I'm doing websites and then the quote. That's it.
Okay, so all right.
Adam,
all right,
where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. This week, let me leave you with my favorite quote when I sign off.
Okay.
It's in Apollo 13, one of my favorite movies, and they're in mission control, and things are going really bad. Like, things are bad. It's really uncertain. It's a very uncertain future of what's going to happen to these three gentlemen in the space capsule. And somebody says, "Oh my God, this is a disaster." And I'm getting goosebumps thinking about this. And that's when Ed Harris, playing Gene Kranz, steps up and says, "Gentlemen, I think you're wrong. I believe this will be our finest hour."
What about your website? Did you say it? No. You no go make photos?
No, we're done.